The title of this message is The Church, Humility and Tears. This message is based on Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. Listening time is approximately 27 minutes. The title of our message is The Church, Humility and Tears. That might sound like a strange message. We really need to get sober about this because so many times we think, well, I'm different. I didn't live at the time of Paul. He was apostle, that's true, and that makes him somewhat different, but still, he had the Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit if we are saved. And we are called to do very much the same thing that Paul was called to do, except he was starting the church. And we're to continue the church. Because if we don't reach out, the church will die out, won't it? Jesus said it never will. So there are going to be people raised up to carry on the gospel, the work that Paul had done. So don't think that he's that extra special. Get into Paul here because there's a calling for each and every one of us. As I reflected on this, I did have tears because I thought of ministries I've been in and the departure that takes place. It's very much like losing a loved one through death. Because in this life, Paul was not going to be seeing those people again, and they had bonded very closely through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week he was barred from going back to Jerusalem right away because there was a plot to kill him again. So he decided to go back over the areas where he had been ministering and building up the church, what we know today as the mainland of Greece. Macedonia is part of that area, Athens, Corinth, and so on. And then he went into Asia, which is northwest Turkey today. So we just read he's on his way back now by ship from the mainland of Greece, and he's passing through various ports. And he comes to an area south of Ephesus. He decided not to go back, but then he decided to send word for the elders, the leaders of the church, to come and meet with him. You may wonder, what are elders? And you may be in a church that has elders. You may be in a church that has deacons. You may be in a church that has both. Let me explain briefly the difference between an elder and a deacon. Elders are generally the spiritual leaders of the church. They work very closely with the pastor. They should be praying with and for the pastor. And they should be helping to guard the flock from false teachers coming into the church or even people in the church preying upon other people. So that is their role. Deacons take care of more of the business part of the church, the maintenance in areas like that. Usually there's a deacon over each of those major areas depending on the size of the church. Here we don't have any mention of deacons. It's strictly elders, spiritual leaders of the church. There was a big church at Ephesus. We know we've been studying that for the last several Sundays as Paul has spent about 3 years in Ephesus building up that ministry. At some point, John, the Apostle John, actually was a pastor of that church. And at this time, I'm not sure, but he may be on the Isle of Patmos imprisoned and then the Lord giving him the book of Revelation. And then he returns to Ephesus for a short time and then dies a natural death. He also ministered to Jesus' earthly mother, Mary. Do you remember at the cross when Jesus looked out, he told John, please take care of my mother. And so she must have gone with him as he left that area and ended up in Ephesus because she also today is known to be buried in Ephesus. What is Paul's message to them? Well, let's get a hold of this. He said the foundation for his ministry was humility and tears. Now that doesn't sound like a good foundation. If you're going to go out and start a business and you need some money and you go to the bank and you tell the banker, now I'm going to start out being very humble and I'm going to cry over this. Well, he's going to say, I'm not getting into this business. So what is Paul really talking about here of being humble and with tears? Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. He's known for his humility. But let's not get humility mixed up with weakness and being wimpy. That's not what humility is all about, is it? No, it's not. So how can we define humility? What it is doing is dismissing yourself as a person from whatever you're doing
and replacing it with Jesus Christ. In other words, what you do and accomplish is to the glory of Jesus, not to your glory. And when ministries are built on the success of men, they usually fail. And God will see to it that they fail. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit after we set the plans. And he doesn't build the house will not stand. You're going to have to keep building and building and repairing because the termites, spirits we speak in, are going to be in there. People are going to be fighting one another, and it doesn't go very far. So humility is extremely important here. And we certainly saw that because as Paul was beaten many, many times and left for dead even at some times, he didn't fight back. Jesus didn't fight back. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, they did know in one sense, but spiritually they didn't know, did they? When people are mean and angry, some of us experienced here recently, they don't know what they're doing. They really don't. When anger sets in or rage sets in, the emotions kick in, and we don't really know what we're doing. We want to be humble. And God is going to humble us if we're not going to select humility ourselves. He has ways of doing that. What about tears? Literal tears. Do you think that Paul literally cried? Yes, I do. Have you ever cried over a situation because of somebody else, the suffering of somebody else? Especially because they were without Christ, and you've been ministering to them, and you've seen them struggle over and over again, working with children, as I have done in Mexico and Morocco and other places, and then you have to leave that ministry for whatever reason, and they're in your heart still. And so there are going to be tears. You know, there are tears of joy and there are tears of sorrow. But I think these tears are compassion. I think these are tears of compassion. Jesus wept. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, knowing it was going to be destroyed. And he said, don't weep for me. You better weep for yourself. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he wept, even though he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. Compassion. Have you ever had your heart grow cold emotionally where you can't cry? And this is especially for men because you're taught that that's being wimpish if you cry. Well, God cried. But I think these are tears of compassion and concern. Paul was so compassionate and concerned for his ministry. Can you imagine how difficult it was for him to now depart from them, knowing he would not see them in this life? Worrying about what was going to happen to them. He tells them now a little bit about his ministry and his heart he's sharing. He said, I went through many trials and testing. In James chapter 1, verse 2, what does it tell us? Trials and testing are for what purpose? To build us up, to encourage us, but through humility. See, God wants to build on the humility we have, not on our earthly strength of the old nature. And that's very important. So there are going to be trials and testing, but here's a great thing to keep in mind. If you're in Christ, every trial that comes to you and test must pass through Jesus. You don't have to guess whether it's being sent by the devil or the Lord is sending it himself. Because nothing is going to pass through Jesus that he doesn't want. Satan had to go to Jesus to ask if he could torment Job. And there was a test going on there. And God says, yes, you can do certain things, but not take his life. It shows us that somebody can trust so much in God that no matter what happens, they don't give up on God. Even though Job's wife, and I'm not picking on women, said, why don't you just curse God and die? We've had enough of this. But she must have had some knowledge of God that if you did curse God, you might die. See, apart from God, he couldn't go through those trials and survive. And many times we want to lash out at God when we go through trials. Or we lash out at those around us that really love us. That happens very, very often. We didn't see this happening with Paul. Why? Because his foundation was right. And it appears that he never lost sight of that foundation. So we want to be sure that anytime we get off, we go back to that foundation and be humbled. And God will send trials and testing to humble us, but also to build us up. So think in terms of, wow, what's going to happen now? All these things are coming, and sometimes it feels like they're coming in every direction. I've had that happen here in the last couple of weeks with all sorts of disappointments. And it's like, okay, God, what are you going to do in all this? And so stop worrying about it, because God's hand is going to be seen if we remain humble and true to Him and have that compassion in the whole situation. What is the next thing that happened then after he talks about his trials and his testing? He talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been calling you. If you remember the last two or three weeks, we read verses about that, that he's going back to Jerusalem. But now he says, I'm going back to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Yes, that was what he thought he was going to be doing. But the Holy Spirit tells them that you're going to end up in jail in a number of cities, and you're going to do a lot of suffering. So his ministry isn't over. It's just over in the area of Greece and Asia as he's going to set sail back to Tyre and then, I suppose, walk or whatever to get down to Jerusalem. What are some of the other things that he's sharing about his ministry other than being called and led by the Holy Spirit? He said that it's nothing. His life means nothing except by the call and the appointment given to him to do the work of the Lord Jesus. And he said that this work, this message that I preach, was the same message to the Jews as to the Gentiles. There's one gospel. We don't preach one to one culture and one to another. You might have a different style in trying to reach people, certainly. But it's the same message, and here it is, very simply. Now notice the word sin is S-I-N. No S on it. Singular. He said, turn from sin, turn towards God, God the Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's follow this a little bit, because that's really the gospel. He said, sin, your sin. We were all born with sin. That sin nature, because that sin nature allows us to do all the other sins. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he took care of sin and sins. That's true. But the problem of heaven or hell has to do with sin. S-I-N. Put a capital S on that, because that's very important. It is a sin of unbelief. God doesn't send anybody to hell, a person, other than, of course, Satan. He's already planned hell for Satan, not for us. But if we do end up there, it's because we chose to deny Christ and we die in unbelief. That's it. It doesn't have to do with all these adultery, idolatry, sexual issues, drunkenness, and all those things that so many people think that all these terrible sins that I have or other people have is going to send them to hell, and that's not true. It's the sin of unbelief, because once you enter into that rest, as God calls it, through Jesus Christ. In other words, you have been reconciled to God the Father through Christ. You can stand in God's presence without worrying about it. Jesus is there. Until you have the glorified body, you can't stand in the presence of the Father. But you can stand in the presence of Jesus. And many people did, even after his resurrection, didn't. And they touched him because he is real and true. That is the sin issue of unbelief. And then when the Holy Spirit enters and seals you, call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then your desires change. Things that were once really important to you don't seem important anymore. And things you once feared, you don't fear anymore. Anybody who has experienced the Lord coming into their life, they know what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, the farther away you were into sins, piled up and piled up, and you receive that forgiveness, the greater the load goes off of you. And you feel that freedom, because true freedom in the world is freedom in Christ. Paul said, I'm a bondservant to Christ, because in that connection to Christ, we have total freedom. It doesn't mean that there won't be trials and testing. He didn't say that at all. And he said that he worked. Remember, he was a tent maker to pay for his ministry and even those that helped him. And he set that up as an example, and he actually gave and helped the poor, because he said, remember what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you give with the wrong motives, then you can forget that whole thing. But so many people have taken that and distorted it and say, if you send in $1,000, God's going to send you $2,000, some pyramid scheme. That's not what God's talking about. First of all, God is spirit, and he's talking about spiritual matters, that you receive that spiritually by reaching out to others that God has led you to reach out to. He'll provide the resources, and you will receive the blessing. It's hard to explain what it is if you haven't experienced it, but those of you who have, no money can buy it. The fact that you reached out and helped, and not to embarrass anybody, but I believe very strongly that the Humbles are experiencing this as they've reached out to Sonia. Something way beyond their expectation, but they don't appear to be stumbling through it. They're taking it step by step. That's an example of that. We never know what's going to be placed in front of us, but remember, the greater the challenge, the greater the blessing. Isn't it? Absolutely. God wants to pour out his blessings to us. And then Paul gives them a warning. And this is a very important warning. It's valid today. He tells them as elders that they are to feed the sheep, the flock that's been given. In other words, the people in the church, they're church leaders now. They are to feed them, what? On the word of God. And to encourage them. And what else are they to do besides feeding them? They're to guide and protect them. Because there are going to be false teachers, he calls, like wolves coming in. And look at what these false teachers are doing. They're calling the people unto themselves. They're dividing the flock because they want them to follow them and not to follow Jesus. And that's a warning. It should not be difficult for us to discern a false teacher. If I start to point to me, to get you to have faith in me and look to me and all those sort of things, then you know that's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will always point to God the Father. They all work together in harmony. It's a succession. It's the Holy Spirit that leads you into salvation and prepares your heart. It took many years for my heart to get prepared, that soil that God talks about for the seed coming in. I was 45 when that happened. And then the Holy Spirit, once you're saved, comes in and lives within you. But as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, so he is the door, the gateway to the Father. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is literally a place, but it's also a relationship with God that is pure, holy, and righteous. Even though we still have the capacity to sin, and we do, in position, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, we're placed in the heavenlies with Christ. We need to dwell on that. How exciting that should be, and take away the worry about trials and testing. Paul is telling them that, to be aware. And then he said, even some of you, some of the very elders standing there were going to be divisive. I think it's so easy to get into divisive things without even realizing it. It sort of just happens. Satan's, one of his greatest tools is to divide a house. The flock is to be kept safe, but the flock is to be fed on the word of God, and so that they can grow. The lambs need to become sheep. Remember what Jesus told Peter? Do you love me, Peter? And he said, yes, I do, Lord. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, I do, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Well, Peter was getting very upset at that third time. Of course, yes, I do love you, Lord. He said, then feed my lambs the first time. And the second time, and third time, he said, feed my sheep. So Jesus is expecting the lambs to grow into sheep, not into wolves. Or lions and predators. And so those sheep then can teach other lambs that come in the church. It's not just the elders and the pastor is supposed to be doing the teaching. Every one of you should be in some relationship of discipling and teaching somebody else. And the more you teach, the more you learn. You really do. I've been a teacher for many years, and I think I learned more than the students because it motivates me to prepare. And that's what's great. Think about preparing a little lesson and going to somebody that you know and presenting that to them. I really encourage you to do that. You will be blessed and you will learn a lot of the scriptures. So what are some of the other things that Paul told them? He wasn't going to see him anymore. And what did this do for them? Paul said, let's pray. He knelt and prayed, and while he prayed, they wept. Were they weeping just for themselves? I don't think so. I think they were weeping for those that they knew they had to reach out to. Paul said, I am now entrusting you over to God. In other words, I'm turning you over to God. See how Paul did it? He went in there and took the main role. He took the stones and the suffering and the persecution that came. And they were with him. He sheltered them from all that. And then later on, he backed off a little bit and let them take some leadership. And then he came back and encouraged them time after time. Not controlling them, but stepping back and stepping back and stepping back. And now he's finally stepping back. I suppose they had some fear involved, a great responsibility being placed on them. Ephesus was a big city, knowing all the things that have happened there, but tremendous victory. Remember the big victory that we learned about last week? About all the people making and selling idols? It was diminishing. Because as the persecution increased, the gospel went out and people received Christ in greater numbers. And there were people saved all over that area. Paul didn't have to go personally into all that area because people who got saved went to those areas. People experienced the hand of God at work. So Paul now is going to set sail over to Tyre, and in the future we'll see what happens to him with his jail and his suffering. What are the main things that we need to draw from this? That first of all, there is going to be suffering in ministry. The Christian life is going to have suffering. It's going to have trials and testing. But it's not negative. It is if it's because of your sin, then confess and repent and move on. But it is because we live in a world where we have an enemy. And that enemy wants to destroy the church. And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So don't worry about that. Because if you're in the church, you're safe. Because you're in Jesus. The body of Christ is the church. And he's the head of it. Nobody's going to be martyred unless God allows it. And Paul will be martyred. But you know, through martyrdom, many people receive Christ. It's not done in vain. Absolutely not. You probably remember the great story that took place in South America where the five missionaries were murdered. This was a tribe they'd been trying to reach for years and years and years. And sometime after that, the wives returned to tell those people that you killed our husbands, but we forgive you because of our faith and love in Jesus Christ. And those people were so overcome with that, that they received the Lord. And that village became on fire and spread the gospel through that whole area. So through their martyrdom, the gospel went farther than they ever imagined. And I can't understand all of that, why God allows that. But remember, the purpose and the calling that Paul has is the same that we have. We are here to share the gospel. We are here to live for Christ. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy a card game or whatever. That's not the issue at all. But to keep in mind that there's a greater calling, there's a greater focus. Because Paul said he's going to run that race and he's going to finish it regardless of the outcome. Because he's leaving the outcome to Jesus Christ. So humility is a foundation. And to remain humble so that God's power and strength comes through our weakness. That's what's important. Because then God can build on that foundation that will never be taken away. And don't hold back the tears. I have cried more in the last year and a half than I think in my whole life after I went to Morocco. The Lord had opened my heart so hard that it really surprised me that I got tearful so much. But even before then, every time I sat in the church and somebody got up and shared that they had now received Christ and what their life was like before and what it's like now, I always cry. Does anybody else in here do that? Have tears come? Yes, it does. But you know, those are the tears of God coming through you. It shows that your heart was right, that you have compassion, that you can rejoice in the salvation and the eternal life of another human being, no matter how young or old or where they come from, that they will be in the eternal family with us. So let us thank Paul for laying such a beautiful foundation with humility and tears. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you yourself, as Jesus Christ, shed tears on this very earth. Tears that brought comfort to some and worry to others. But Father, you created our emotions. That's the expression of our soul, Father. Let us not squelch the tears that are of compassion and the tears of joy that come through the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for everyone who came this evening. For whatever this message has, Father, I pray that it be driven deep into their heart and into their soul so their lives can be changed and we can grow in humility, which is true strength, and to be willing to share and to cast our tears wherever they may fall, Father. We just pray that in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.